Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Gittin Pei Aleph. We are holding at the Mishnah on top of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Kasav legaresh es ishtoi. A kohen actually commissioned the writing of a get for his wife, Vinimlach, and then he had a change of heart and didn't actually deliver the get to his wife. So he contemplated giving the get. He had it written, but never delivered. Beishami Imrim, you know, this gives us the impression, gives the people the impression that perhaps there was a get delivered, and therefore people might, you know, mistakenly believe that she's a divorcee, and therefore we don't let her marry a kohen. Some farshim learn that it's min ha-Torah, some farshim learn that it's a gzeira, a concern with the rabbanon, to avoid any misunderstanding and misconceptions. Beishami Imrim, poslam min ha-kohuna, the ksivas haget alone affects a psul kahuna, she's ineligible to marry a kohen. Ubeis hilal oimrim, no, afapi shenesonei la'atnai. So even if he gave the get to the isha on condition, you know, that it's going to rain tomorrow, and actually that condition was not fulfilled, she's not possible from kahuna, she can still marry a kohen to that extent. So we have two extremes in this shita. Beishami say the ksivas haget alone gives off the impression that she's a divorcee and therefore she's ineligible for a kohen. They still go the other way, even if she was actually given a get but it was on condition and the condition was not fulfilled, she's safe to marry a kohen, you know, down the road. Says the Gemara, Shalach lei Rav Yosef, Braid Rav Menashe. So Rav Yosef, the son of Rav Menashe, who came from this town of Dvil, Midvil, he sent a question, Lishmoel. Ilam Deinu Rabbeinu, please teach us, Rabbi. What happens if Yotza Olav Koil? There was a rumor that was spread as follows. Ish Pliny Koyin, this certain person, you know, Ruvain the Koyin, Kasav get l'ishtoi. So he wrote a get to his wife. That was the rumor. Kasav get l'ishtoi. And look, she's still with him. Yeshev es tachtov u'mishamashtoi. And she's still, in his family. She's with him as a wife, which gives the impression that perhaps he had divorced her and took her back. And of course, in Kain, he may not remarry his divorced wife. He can't marry any divorcee. Mao, what would you say? What's the halacha here? How do we deal with this? As rumor says it, he divorced her. Well, actually, Kasav, he wrote her again, Kasav get l'ishtoi, and there she is. There they are, living together. Shall we say that the rumor is true, is correct, that he divorced her and she must leave because she's a grusha, or not? Shalach lei. So Shmuel responded, Teitze, she must leave her husband. But we really have to examine, the facts and the process again. Well, what does this mean? Mahi, what do you mean to say? What needs to be checked out? Ilema de'im vatlinan kolo. Did he mean to say that we should give it a try, that perhaps we can stop this rumor? Oy loy mevatlinan, or we'll see if we're not successful, then we have to make her leave her husband. So basically, we're going to give it a try. We're going to attempt to cancel the coil. You know, Bezna will send out a message, mass email. Well, this rumor is false, and let's see how that pans out. Will people accept it, and the rumor will die down? Then we could just leave it as is. But otherwise, she'll have to leave her husband. Is that what he meant to say? Adavar tzarech badika means we'll attempt to silence the koil. V'ha, that can't be so, because Nahardo, the town of Nahardo, was Asrei de Shmuel. Was Shmuel's town, right? Ubenardo lo mevatli kola. And the fact is that in Nahardo, the minig was not to. All the dayanim, this was a running tradition in Nahardo, we don't try to cancel and to oppose and to quiet down rumors, and Rashi says, because it's going to give off the impression that we're supporting violators and transgressors, so we don't get involved. So apparently this is not what he meant to say. Ella, he meant like this. Remember, the koil was worded as follows. It said, Pliny koin kosav, right? Kosav get li ishtoi. So what does kosav mean? So we have to simply define the definition of the word kosav. Ella, the ikar linasino ksiva. Well, we're going to research, we're going to verify whether in this town they are used to relating to the delivering of a get with using the word kasiva. So in that case, kasav get l'ishto is just another method, another form of saying, another way of saying he gave her a get. And that's trouble, because if you gave her a get, she's a grusha. That's what he meant to say. Let's determine what the word kasav means in this town. Asks the Gemara, so what? Let's say you're right, that the word ksiva is typically a reference to actually giving the get. Why is that trouble? L'ksiva gufa, mila karu l'ksiva? Well, certainly the word ksiva is also applied to the actual writing of the get, so perhaps that's all it means. Why are we saying that ksiva means giving the get? It can mean writing the get. Yes, the imagali most the korel and sinak ksiva, because if it turns out that in this town they refer to nesina with the word ksiva, dilma nasin ka'amri. So then there's a chance that what they're saying is he gave the get. And that is enough to generate problems, generate concerns, and create a chashad, a concern that in fact she's a grusha, and therefore she has to separate. Really? Tete, she must leave her husband? As a result of a rumor? V'amar of Ashi called Kolo de Basar Nesuin, like Hashem, any rumor that suddenly surfaces after a woman is married. So we don't deal with it. We don't reckon with it. We don't give credibility to a rumor which is trying to interfere with a married couple. Unless you have proper, you know, verification, either, but just a rumor, we don't deal with it. So why is this case any different? Look, there's a married couple, and there's a rumor to the extent that she was divorced and he took her back. What's a rumor worth in terms of a married couple? Answers the Gemara, you're right. My tete, when we say she must separate, nami, tete misheni, we mean, suppose this couple, you know, stayed on married for a couple of years. We don't, you know, interfere with that marriage. Koel doesn't do that, right? But then she left him. And, you know, I mean, let's say he passed away. And she married another Koel. She went from Reuven to Shimon. We don't let her stay on with Shimon because of that original koil, that rumor that proposed that she was a grusha who's ineligible for a kain. So we're not actually forcing her to separate from her current husband, but if this husband should die and she went on to another kain, then we say, one second, you can't stay with that kain, because there was a koil that preceded that second marriage. Asks the Gemara, one second, but Im Kain, if you're going to act upon that rumor and force her to separate from the new husband, from Shimon, imkena tomitzi laz albon of shalrishon. Suppose she had another couple of kids with Reuven. Right, so there was a koel today. We ignore the koel because she's a married woman. And then they stayed on, had a couple of kids, and they passed away. She went on to Shimon. We say, one second, Shimon, she has to separate. Why? Because of that koel way back years ago. Ooh, one second. So what about those kids born after that koel? Doesn't the fact that we're acting upon that original koel cast suspicion and doubt about those kids born to her and Reuven after that koil that she was really a divorcee and married to a kohen. No, says the Gemara, there's no concern about that. Kivin the Meshenu Hudimafkinala. Umarishan Uloy Mafkinala. The fact that we're only acting now, separating it from Shimon and not from Reuven. We let us stay on with Reuven until he passed away. So people will conclude that there must be another reason why we're doing this. Samach Lemisa Girsha, perhaps Reuven, you know, divorced her right before he passed away. And that's why she's a Grusha. Not because of that coil of years ago. In which case, her children with Reuven are perfectly fine. So bottom line is, we have a Mishnah. A fellow wrote a get, but didn't deliver it to his wife. B'shamay say, that's enough to make her puzzle from Kahuna, gives the impression of a Grusha. B'shamay say, no. Nothing doing. There is no psul unless you actually divorce her. And it's a successful divorce, because if it's a divorce al tanai, the tanai didn't, it's not considered a gerushin, and there's no issue in terms of her marrying a kohen. We proceeded with a shaila asked to Shmuel about a kohel, about a certain kohen having divorced his wife, and they're staying married. So he said, look, if it turns out that the koil actually suggested that he divorced her, then we must separate her. But as the Gemara concludes, only separate her from the second husband. But she can stay on with the first husband without concern, because a koil is meaningless on a married couple. But apparently we do reckon with koil, at least with reference to the new husband. Amar Rabba Bar Bachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, Boy Rei, come take a, have a look. Our generations, the later generations, are no comparison, no matchup in terms of our Yira Shemayim to the prior Deris, to the Deris HaRishonim. What does he mean? Deris HaRishonim Beis Shammai. The earlier Deris is a reference to Beis Shammai in our Mishnah, and Deris HaRishonim is a reference to Rabbi Doisa. So, in our Mishnah, we have Beis Shammai, who are very machmer in terms of protecting the integrity, the yichus of kahuna. Any doubt, any impression is already a concern. Whereas Rabbi Doisa takes a more lenient approach to the topic of yichus of a kehenes. Where do we find Rabbi Doisa? The son, Shvuya Oichilas Betruma, the Rabbi Doisa. So in contrast to the Shitas Chachamim, Rabbi Doisa holds that if a kohenes was captured and kidnapped, we're not concerned that there was improper interaction between herself and the non-Jews, and which would make her ineligible for truma. No, she's okay. She can have truma. Divrei Rabbi Doisa. Amar Rabbi Doisa. What's the big deal? V'chima asa la Arabi. What did this Arab do to her? V'pnei shemiach lo ben dadeh. Just because he interacted with her improperly, tapped her between her breasts, he was immodest with her. Pesolah ben kahuna. What does that do to her? You think that invalidates her from kahuna? Meaning, we don't have to fear the worst, that there was actual, you know, physical interaction as married. So he takes a lenient approach to yichus of kahuna, and this is in contrast to Beis Shammai in our Mishnah, the Deris HaRishonim, who adopted a very strict approach in terms of yichus kahuna. V'amar, Rabba Bar Bachan, Amar B'yechon, another such example of comparing us to them. Mishum Rabbi Debar Eloi, Boy Rei, come have a look. Shaloi Kederus HaRishonim, Deris HaChroinim. We can't compare ourselves to the earlier generations. Deris HaRishonim, way back then, they were excited about obligations and about mitzvahs, machnisin, pirusein, derech traksimoin, and when they were done processing their, fruit, or their produce, or their grain out in the field, and they delivered it home, they would bring it derech traksimoin through the main entranceway, the main pathway into the house, kedei l'chayvan b'maser, which would then trigger, which would activate the chiyuv maser on this produce. You know, once you bring it into the house, it's considered, meal ready, so to speak. Right? It's no longer, farm material. It's considered ready to eat, and that triggers the chiyuv of maser. But specifically, if you bring it through the main door, through the regular entrance. So he would do that in order to get the Rechiv Maser. But what do the Deres Achroinim do? Try to cut corners. Deres Achroinim, Machnisim, Peresein, Derech Gagais. They haul their produce, you know, through the rooftops into the house, Derech Kafifas, through the storage, side areas. Kdele Poitra and Amasa, which would avert the Chi of Maser. Dom Rabbi Yanai, Eina Tevel Moschai be Maser. The only way to get Tevel to actually be Chayv in Maser, Ach Yirap Ne'abayis, unless it actually sees the front of the home, it comes in the regular way. Shenamar bi'arti HaKadosh ben HaBayis. We learn from here, only something which came in the regular way into the bayis is Chayv and Masr. Rabbi Yechon Omar, Avilu Chatzar Kevas. Not only the home, but even, you know, the regular, the yard. The courtyard is also sort of an extension of the home, and delivering it into the courtyard triggers the Chayv Masr as well. Shenamar v'ochlu b'sharecha v'saveyu. This is speaking about, you know, Trumas and Masrus, that they'll have it in the sha'arim b'sharecha. Is a reference to even the, you know, the exterior areas, the courtyard. That's also a place that's meant for achila, and something in there is chayiv in maser. Continues the Mishnah. Hamagarish is ishtoi velona imay bepundaki. So this fellow actually divorced his wife. No questions about that. He divorced the wife, but then they stayed together in a, you know, in a motel on the road. There's no need to give another get. There's no concern that perhaps he did a new kiddushin and remarried her at that opportunity. We're concerned that perhaps he remarried her, he did a new kiddushin, and a new get is required. When are we concerned? When this divorce that took place was of a married couple, in which case they're, you know, very familiar with each other, and perhaps they made amends and they, you know, remarried. Umoidim bin Eskarshim and Erisim, of course, everybody agrees, even Beisilal, agree that if the Gerishin was of a engaged couple, in which case they're not really so close, She'ein Atzrichim and Get She'ein, there's no need for another get. Why? Because he's not close to her. Amar Rabba Babrachan Rabbi Yechon. Machlekes. When do we have this discussion? Meaning, when do Beisilal require another get? Because of this concern that perhaps there was a remarriage. Machlekes b'sheru'u ashenivala. There were, you know, witnesses, there were edim, that they actually interacted as married. So that serves as firm grounds, firm basis for a remarriage, a new kedushin. And that's where the machlekes comes. B'shamay sabri. B'shamay say, no concern, no worries. Adam oise b'lase b'lasnus. Even if there was an interaction as married, we just assume it was, you know, an improper behavior, was not meant as a kiddushin. Ubisil Savri, no, a person wouldn't do that if he has the opportunity to make it a proper interaction. Ubisil Savri, in Adam Oise Bilosi Bilasnus, we assume that it was meant as a kiddushin. And therefore, a new get is required. But that's only if we actually saw that they interacted in such a way. But if there was no witnessing about Nivala, so all we saw was, let's say, Yichud, Divrei HaKoel, Eina, Tzricha, Imenu Get Sheni, all agree, even Beisil agree, there's no need for another get, because it doesn't really serve as firm grounds for Chashash Kiddush. Now the Kasha is, so if we saw Shanivala, then why does the Mishnah differentiate between a married couple or an engaged couple? We saw Be'ila, and we assume Be'ila equals Kedusha. Tanan, Umoydim bin Eskashim bin Erisin. Mishnah says, everybody agrees if this was a an engaged couple. She'ein Atzricha, Hemen Get Sheni, you don't need another get. She'ein Libel Gaspa, because they're not so familiar with each other. 1 second. Vibisha Ru'o Shanivala, if we saw that interaction, what's the difference? Mali mena erison, u mali mena nesun. What difference does it make? What stage of life they were? What stage of this relationship was it? Erison and nesun. We have bila, and we assume bila equals kedushin. He writes, says the Gemara, elamas nisin b'shaloi ruua shenivala. Our Mishnah has a different approach to this machlekes. We're speaking that they did not notice any Be'ilah. All they saw was Yichud. That's all. We saw them going into seclusion. Now, how do we explain the Machlokes, you know, Be'isham and Be'isilu? We had a pshat, according to the Rabbi Yechon's approach, that they saw the Be'ilah, so we explained it. But if that's not the case, then we must have another explanation to the Mishnah. The Gemara soon will deal with that. But for just for a moment, let's just conclude on Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon, who told us that was speaking that they did see Shenivala. Rabbi Yechon and the Amar Ki Haitan, Rabbi Yechon had a different version of the Machlekes. He was following a different Tana and a different Braisa. He was not following Al Mishnah. Al Mishnah's version is totally different. The Sanya, the other version, goes like this. Amar Pshimun Alas. Loi Nechlek. Beshama Beshilal. There's no discussion in the Mishnah. Al Shaloi Ru'ua Shenivala. If they did not see Be'ila. All they saw was Yichud, that doesn't really trigger any concern. Sheina Tzricha Himena Get Sheina. Amma Nechalku, when do we have this concern? When do we have this discussion? When do Beis Hillel require a new get? Al Sharu'o Shenivla, if we saw them interacting as married. The Machlekes is, Shabashama Yoimrim, Beshama say, no concern. Adam Oysa Bilasi Bilas Nus, it was just Nus. Ubeis Hillel Oimrim, Ein Adam Oysa Bilasi Bilas Nus, if he has a ready option. He prefers it should not be his Nus, we assume it was a Kiddushin, which would necessitate a new get, should they decide to separate. So this is the Tana, the Braisa, which Rabbi Yechon was following when he presented his structure in terms of the Machlekes. Now, our Mishnah apparently learns differently. Right? Remember, the Mishnah by us differentiates between a married couple and unmarried couple. Well, if we saw Shenivala, then there shouldn't be any difference. And in fact, Rabbi Yechon and his Tana don't differentiate, because we have firm basis of some sort of interaction here, right? Shenivala. Question just is how to interpret it. Was it nuz, was it not? But our Mishnah is going on a different track. Umas nisin, do kimna, beloy, ru'o shenivala. What about our Mishnah's approach to the machlekes? Apparently, there was no ru'o shenivala. Always have a ziyichud. So by my pligi, how then do we explain machlekes? Be'sham and be'silo. The ika e de yichud. We're speaking that we have witnesses on the yichud between the two, but no more than that. We have no edim mababia. The machlekes is b'shami sabri lo yamrinon hein hein ede yichud. We don't adopt the strict approach and presume that just because we have edim on yichud, yichud equals further physical interaction. We don't say hein hein ede yichud, the edim of yichud. Behein hein ede bia serve as edim for bia as well. Meaning, we don't assume that one thing leads to the next. Unless we know, we don't have to assume. And therefore, there's no need to be concerned. Ubeish hilal savri, yeah. In this case, when they were already married previously, they have that familiarity between them. So we say that yichud is really a catalyst for bia. Once we have yichud in our minds, that equals bia, and therefore a new get is required. But that's only when they were previously married, and that's why the Mishnah concludes with the words umaydim. Everybody agrees. Beneskashem and erusin. If they were just erusin, she'ena tzricha imena get chenu. There's no need for a new get. Do you know why? The kivan de ein liboy gaspa, since he doesn't feel so close to her. Lo yamrinan hein eidei bia. We don't say that eidei yichud equal eidei bia. So now all parts of the puzzle fit in perfectly. And now Mishnah, all we have is yichud. Bishami say yichud is yichud. That's it. Bishil say yichud equals bia. But that's only by a married couple. But otherwise we don't say that. But Rabbi Yechon had a different approach to the machlekes, which was different than our Mishnah. Ask Gemara, how could Rabbi Yechon take on a different approach than our Mishnah? Umi Amar Rabbi Yechon Hachi? Is that so that Rabbi Yechon presented a different package? For Amar Rabbi Yechon himself tells us, Halacha Kistam Mishnah, we always adopt the anonymous Mishnahs. A Mishnah without a name, that's how we pask it. V'kim nalamas nisen b'shaloi ru'o shenivala. And we've just established that according to our Mishnah, all we have is yichud. We didn't see more than that. So how could Rabbi Yochanan take a different approach than our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, there was a difference of opinion in terms of how Rabbi Yochanan paskan halacha l'masa. There are two approaches. Valib Rabbi Yochanan coined to Rabbi Yochanan, meaning some maintain that Rabbi Yochanan always paskan like a stam Mishnah, and others disagreed, and not necessarily does he follow the Mishnahs, and he could have very easily have taken on a different approach as per the other approach of the Brisa. So bottom line, person was Megarish Ishtay. V'lona imay bepundiki. What happens? So, Beis Shammai say, no new get is required. Beis Hillel say, yes. We have two approaches. The Mishnah's approach and the Brisa's approach. According to the Brisa's approach, which is Rabbi Yochanan's approach, the concern is only triggered when we have Edom on the Bia. Question is how to deal with it. Beis Shammai say, we deal with it just like as Nus. Beis Hillel say, no. We look at it as a Kedushin. And this applies whether it's Min HaNesu'in, Min HaErusin. Our Mishnah's approach is that all we have is Edom Yichud. The question is, should we assume Yichud led to more than that? Beis Shammai, no. Beis Hillel, yes. But that's only if it's Min HaNesu'in. Continues the Mishnah. Kansa Beget Kireach. Rashi brings Gemara Bava Basra. The Kohanim made a special takana for Kohanim, who were perhaps prone to irritation. Kohanim kapdonim heim, Rashi says. You know, we find many times Kohanim are praised for their acuteness, for their conscientiousness. Kohanim zrizim heim, Kohanim achachamim. But you know, sometimes there's a downside to it when you're really conscientious. In particular, it can bring a downside, an irritable side to the person. So Chachamim knew about that, they were aware of that, and they were concerned that if we make it too easy for the Kohen, he might just divorce his wife at a whim, and when he has a change of heart, and he gets back to himself, and regains his composure, he'll want her back, and it'll be too late, because the Kohen can't remarry. He can't marry a Gerusha. So they made it a bit more difficult. They added more steps to his get, to prolong the process, hoping that perhaps he'll have enough time to reevaluate and, if need be, cancel the process. So what they did was like this. A typical get of a Yisrael is just a, you know, plain parchment with two edim on bottom and you're done. Kohanim needed to produce a get called a get mekusher with many seams, folds, sewed over each other. So basically it was a flat parchment. They wrote the get. And then, parchment. They would write a couple of lines, fold it, and have an aid sign on that fold. Write a couple of lines, fold it, and have an aid sign on the back, and so on and so forth. You can end up with, 10 folds, 10 witnesses. But Min HaTorah, all you need is two edim. So the extra edim required on that get are not really mandated Min HaTorah. Now, you certainly have to fill up all the blanks. Every fold needs to have an eight. And Rashi points out that if we leave out a blank, we don't fill every single fold, then there's a concern that perhaps, people might think that he had asked all those people to be involved. He said, Kulchem. Remember Kulchem? You can turn to a group of people and say, look, all of you have to sign the get. And then, it's the get is conditional upon all of them contributing. So people might think, look, there are 10 folds. We assume he had 10 Edim ready, and perhaps he told them all to sign, and unless they all sign, his condition, his instructions were not fulfilled, were not kept. So therefore, we require all those folds to be filled by Edim. Says the Mishnah, let's say they were not all filled, and that's called a get kireach, a bald get, with some empty blanks. Kansa, the get kireach. Suppose the Isha remarried after receiving a get which was bald, missing some signatures. We nullify the whole process. Teitzei mizeh umizeh. Ba, we're very strict, just as in that Mishnah where there was something wrong with the get, we say she must leave both husbands, new husband, the old husband, applying all those consequences, all those, you know, knasos, the same thing applies. It would treat it like a pasul get. But we don't come down so hard on a get mekusher. Get kireyach hakol mashlimin alav. So, you know, you have this get, called a get mekusher, with all those folds and blanks. The question is, you know, do you need, you have 10 blanks. Do all 10 edim have to be perfect edim, eligible edim, qualified edim? No. Hakol mashlimin alav, once you have your, you know, your basic number, or two or three, whatever, so then the rest, two or three is, I mentioned that because the Gemara will perhaps add the third one as well. So, two for sure have to be perfect edim. Number three is a question, and the rest says benanos, you can take anybody. Get kerech, hakol mashlimin alav, anybody can add their names and sort of fill in all the blanks. You don't have to have an aid which is kosher. Because after all, it's not really required, it's just meant to avert any misunderstandings and misconceptions about this get. Divrei benanos. Rekiva Omer, I agree to a certain extent. You don't need to have a fully qualified aid, but you need somebody who is inherently eligible to testify. What does that mean? Ein mashlimin olav ela kroivim. Haru'uyin lahoid makim achar. You can't use a, you know, an eved, a gazlan, somebody who is inherently pasul edus. The Gemara will explain why. So that's off. You can use a karev, a relative of the man or the woman, who are eligible to testify in a, you know, in a different court case. So they're inherently edim kshirim, and therefore they can contribute to the get of this person. Ve'ezu get kereach. What exactly is this get kereach? As we explained, kol shekshorav merubin me'edav. There are more ksharim here, means, you know, the sewed down folds. There are more of those than the edim, meaning we have blanks that need to be filled. Now, my time in the get kereach, what's the point of this whole get kereach? Why do we require the kayin to make this fancy get? Sorry, why is it? Why is it that we have to fill all the blanks in the get kereach? My time in the get kereach, why is the get kereach possible unless the blanks are filled in? As we explained, zerum shem kulchem, we're concerned that perhaps he had invited, you know, X amount of people to contribute, as per all these folds, and we have some empty blanks, and that would invalidate the get, because he said kulchem. So that's why we make sure that all the time we fill in all the blanks, lest we have any doubts on the kashrus our get. But as we said, we allow for some leeway in terms of filling those blanks. Get kereich, hakoil, mashlimin, olav, anybody's eligible to put their names in. Rabbi Kiva says no. A relative, okay, but not somebody who is inherently ineligible, like a Eved or a Gazlan. Explains the Gemara, you know, what's the difference? Rabbi Kiva, Eved, my time Eloi, why don't you allow an Eved to join? Because people might now misconstrue the halachas of Eidos. They might, you know, conclude from this, the Asulimim, people might conclude that even Eved, a slave, is Kashal Eid. Look, the fact is he joined the get. If that's the case, then karev nami. The same with a relative signing. People might conclude that a relative can sign on to his relative's document. So why would there be a difference? Why would you not allow an eved and yes, a relative? Ella eved hainu taimo. Ella means like this. So apparently, there's no room for misconception in terms of misconstruing the halachos of eidus. People understand an eved can't participate in a din Torah, nor can a relative. Ella, rather, the reason's like this. Eved hainu taimo. Why don't we invite an eved? Dilma osu lasuke liyachsin. Because people might say, look, we understand, we're bucky, we're proficient in halachas of eidus. We know that an eved cannot testify. So why is the eved on the get? Oh, apparently, he's not an eved. We thought he was an eved. He's a regular good Jewish boy, and he can go and marry a Bas Yisrael. Asula sukha liyachsin. We'll let him marry into the community. Asks the Gemara. Well, if that's the case, then I understand why Eved is a problem, but what about a gazlan, a robber? Why don't we allow a robber to join. The Bar Yuchsenu, you know, unfortunately, whatever he does, but it doesn't disqualify him from marrying into the community. L'skasher, so let's invite him. Let's allow him to sign on the get. Alam matnan. So why is it that we learned in the Mishnah? Rabbi Kiva, im emash liman olav elakrei haruyin lahayid makamacha. We don't allow evet. We don't allow a guest. At most, you know, relative, upstanding citizen, upstanding member of the community who can offer his testimony elsewhere. Problem is, he happens to be the relative here, but that's okay. So only a Karev in. Only he is allowed in. Gazlon noy, but not a Gazlon. What's the concern? Why? Ella, rather, finally says the Gemara, this is the correct Pshat in the Mishnah, which will explain the difference between a relative who is eligible and the Eved and Gazlon who are not. Ella, Eved hainu taimu. Why don't we allow the Eved? The Oslameimar shechrurei shachrei. So, A, people will know that Eved is not kashaleidus. Nobody's going to make that mistake. And B, people will know that he's an Eved. Nobody will think otherwise. But people will think, look, the fact that we allow him to join the get indicates that he must have been released. He must have been set free. Must have been let go by his owner. Why else would we allow the Eved to serve as a witness on a get? Gazlan nami, also lememar tshuva avet. Same thing with a gazlan. People will think, okay, he repented, he did tshuva, he's no longer a gazlan. Right? So, and that's of course not true. So therefore, we don't want to run into that issue. We don't want to create an impression that these people are. We don't want to certify these people. As opposed to a relative, karev, Michael lememar. What concern do we have if we allow a karev in? No concern at all. Karev, kuliyal miyadi, the karev, everybody knows. Look, he's an uncle. No doubt about it. No question as to his relation to this person. So there's no room for misunderstanding or misconception, and therefore there's no risk involved. So bottom line, a kohen got a special get, called a get mekusher. We must ensure that it does not become a get kireyach, a bald get, fill in all the blanks because of the kulchem concern. Who's allowed to fill in? Quite to be honest, anybody. The Rekiva, concerned about misunderstanding, misconceptions, only a Karev, although it's possible, a Karev is okay, but not the other Psul. Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rabba Bar Shilta. So Rav Zeira quotes Rabba Bar Shilta, who's quoting another Amar, Amar Rav Amnunu Saba, who's quoting another Amar, Amar Rav Adar Bar Ava. That what? If you have a get Kereach, so you have the get of the Kain, which has an empty, you know, spot. It has a blank. Ksharav Shiva ve'edav Shisha. For instance, it has seven folds, but only six edim. We're missing one. Or Shisha, six folds, ve'edav Chamisha, five edim. We're missing one. Chamisha, five folds, ve'edav Arba, four witnesses. We're missing one. Arba ve'edav Shlesha. So we have to fill in that last blank. Adkan, Machlekes, Benanas Rebbe Kiva. This is the machlekes. So, basically, if we're missing one, whether it's the sixth, the fifth, the fourth, that's where the machlekes applies. Who qualifies? Anybody or just a relative? Aval bat kesharav shleisha veidav shnayim. Let's say you have three folds with only two edim. So you're missing the third aid. Divrei hakoil ein mashlimin olav elakarev. All agree that in this case, we need somebody closer to home. A relative, okay, but not an Eved, not a Gazlan. Everybody agrees. Why? Amalei Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera, who heard this halacha from Rabba Bar Shilta, asked his source, Amalei Rabbi Zera, the Rabba Bar Shilta, Michti, let's analyze this. What's going on? Kol Shloisha B'Mekusher, Kishnayim B'Pasha Dami. So he asked the kasha like this, look, the minimum, now we speak about six folds, seven folds, you know, that's extra credit, but at a minimum, that's the takana. At a minimum, you need three. So basically, the three edim of a mekusher have the same value, so to speak, as two Edim on a regular shtar of a Yisroel, a regular get. That's the Chacham's Chachamim. He must add at least one more. So it must conform, it must present like a legal aid. Otherwise, you know, the Chacham made a takana that's meant to it's meant to model, right? The three Edom of the Mekusher are meant to have the same value as two Edom by a regular get. And therefore, Mahosam Karavloi, just like by a regular get, the two Edom can't be relatives. Avhocha, Nami Karavloi, likewise the three Edom, the three basic minimum requirement of the get Mekusher need to be proper, 100% certified Edom. Amrle, so he responded, you know, I had the same question. And I asked my source, who asked his source. Afli didi kashli, I had the same question. Shalti l'Rav Nuna, I went to Rav Nuna to ask him. Rav Nuna went to Rav Adabar Ava. He was the actual source of the originator of this halach. And he told him, look, Varmalei, and he told him, Hanach l'shleshev mekush l'avdei reise. After all, when a Torah, all you need is two Edim. So even though the Chacham instituted this new type of takana, three Edim by the Mekusher, but as important as it is, but it's not Manat Torah. And therefore, the third aid doesn't necessarily have to be a perfect aid. But, it's interesting, but all agree that he has to be inherently certified to be an aid. B'makam achar. He can't be a gazlan. He can't be an evid, who are inherently deficient. He has to sort of present as a kosher aid. A relative, that's okay. So it's interesting. The first, you know, the basic Edom, the two Edom, have to be perfect Edom. 100% qualified, certified Edom. Number three is sort of in between. All agree that he doesn't have to be perfectly kosher, but he has to be inherently eligible to be an aid elsewhere. He has to be a kar. He has to present, he has to package himself like an aid. Regarding the remainder, that's where the machlekes comes in. Anybody's okay or just relatives. Tanya Mihachi, we have the same in a Braisa. This differentiation between number three and the rest. Get kereach ksharav shiva, veidav shisha, right? Shisha, six folds, veidav chamisha, only five edim, so we're missing one. Chamisha, five folds, veidav arba with only four edim, so we're missing one. Arba, veidav shlesha. And all these, we have the machlekes between Benanas and Rekiva. Ad kan, machlekes, Benanas and Rekiva. So Benanas allows even an eved, Rekiva does not. Here's Shlomo of Eved, right? If you put the Eved on there to fill the blank. Benana so Imar Vlad Kashav, she married. Child is okay. Rabbi Kiva Imar Vlad Mamzer, no. We deal with it like a disqualified get, and the new child from the new husband is a Mamzer. Avol Kshadav Shloisha Eid of Shnaim. But if we're speaking about Eid number three, which is the minimum requirement for the Eid for the Shtar Makusha, Divrei HaKoel, Ein Mashlim Nolav El Karev, all agree, at a minimum, you need a relative. But no worse than that. And here comes another twist. Rav Yosef Masni Kosher. Rav Yosef's version of this halacha was that, you know, when Rav Zera told us that there's a difference between number three and the other ones, you need to have a perfectly valid aid on number three. And we can understand this very well because number three of the aid Mekusher is like number two of a regular star because it's the minimum requirement. It's the basic number of Edom. So you need an Eid Kasher. That's the Tekanes Chachamim. Asks the Gemara about Tanya Karev, but we just learned in the Braisa that even a relative is okay for number three. Let's revise the, let's edit the Lashon. You need a Kasher. According to this Shita, a Kasher is required for one, two, and three. But past three, we have the Machlekes between Benanas, who allows anybody, and Rekiva, only a relative. So again, bottom line is, by your typical get, two Edom are needed, two Edom are sufficient, kosher Edom. By your get Mekusher, so the first two Edom, of course, Edom Ksherim 100%. Number three, so according to some, he has to be fully kosher. According to others, a Karev is enough. But past three, according to some, a Karev is required. According to Benanas, anybody's okay. But there's a limit to that. At most, you can have one relative sign on the on the get. Aval treila, you can't have more than one. You can't have two. You know why? What's the problem? Dilma asa l'kiyum, maybe terei kroivim, b'chad kasher. Because the fact of the matter is, down the road, when you're going to try to certify the signatures and verify the authenticity of this get, and you'll, you know, browse through the chasimas, and you'll notice three of them that you can, you know, certify as being legitimate, right? So typically a get requires two chasimas. Here, like we said, the basic requirement is three. So you have to certify three chasimas to give the shtar authenticity, to certify the shtar. And if you have two ineligible edom on that list, you might end up certifying the get by verifying three chasimas, two of which are relatives. Which is no good. So at most you add one eight pasul on that get makusher. At worst case, you'll certify three, and one of them might be an eight pasul, which is fine, because at least you have two that are proper edim and properly certified. Omar of Ashimas Nisan Abiteka. We can prove this point from the Brisa as well. Brisa we just mentioned, which went down incrementally, right? It said six folds, five edim. Five folds, four edim. And you can fill in the blank, the missing eight. To come medalag v'tani, chad v'chad. When he's going down the list, he only skips one at a time. He didn't say, you know, seven folds, five edim, and fill in those two blanks with anybody, because you can't. Am rabbi yishma mino. We're going to prove from our Mishnah a couple halachas. Hi Kariv, this relative was going to sign. Hi Kariv, chasim, iboy bein betchila bein emtza bein mesayif. There's no specific location where he's going to sign. If he wants to sign number one, he could sign number one. Bein betchila bein emtza bein mesayif. Beginning, middle, the end, doesn't matter. Why? Mimai. How do I know that? Because the mission doesn't specify where to sign, so it makes no difference. Number two, we can conclude that whenever we certify, we do kiyum on those signatures, you know, down the road, we can take any three and certify. But we don't have to have it in order. We don't have to certify, you know, two, three, and four. You could take random signatures and certify them, and by doing so, certify the get. Why? Because if it was so that you have to certify them in order, you know, 2, 3, and 4, 5, 6, and 7, you can't just, you know, jump around. If that were so, then why are we limiting the allowance to just one karev? For concern that we might actually use, you know, two kraivim to certify. A very simple solution. Allow as many kraivim as you want. Likba le makim lai kraiv. Betchila. Oy be'emtza. Oy be'soif. Ve'lach she'be'tuva. A very simple solution. Look, take the total number of edim that you plan on recording in the shtar. Let's say it's 9 edim, just for argument's sake. You have 9 edim about to sign. Go ahead and implement the following system. Allow even more than one relative. Don't limit it to one relative. Two relatives want to sign? Welcome. Gesundheit. And have them sign like this. You have 5 edim here? Okay. 3, 3, and 3. And the kraven will sign either betchila. The first of every set of three will be a karev. So it will be number one, number four, and number seven. So he's going to be the first of every set of three. In which case, when you do the kiyum, right, if it's so that you have to have ritzufim, you have to find, if the certified three signatures situated next to each other, right, if two in sets of three, so any three that you'll pick, you'll never run into more than one karev, because they're situated three apart. Right? Simple math. So you can do that. Oy betchila, oy be'emtza, or alternatively, you can have the karev sign as number two in every set of three. So it'll be, right, so three, three, and three, so you have, let's say, Number 2 is a kariv. Number 5 is a kariv. And number 8 is a kariv. He's in the middle of his set of 3. So once again, they're 3 apart. So any 3 ritzufim, any 3 signatures that you pick that are next to each other, will only contain 1 kariv. Or besaif. Same thing with besaif. You have the relative signing at the end of every set of 3. So it'll be number 3, number 6, number 1, number 9. So any 3 next to each other that you pick will not feature more than 1 relative. Why can't you do that? Apparently because when we do kiyum, we can take any random 3. It'll take it could take 1, 4, and 7. You'll end up with 3 kriyvim. So that's why we don't allow more than 1 relative to sign, lest we run into a situation where of the 3 that we certify, 2 of which might be kriyvim, and that's obviously no good. Concludes the Gemara regarding this machlekes and our Mishnah, who's eligible to contribute to the get kerech? He also came to Rabbi Ami when they used to bring, get kerech to Rabbi Ami. They used to come ask him, who can fill in the blanks? Amalei. He used to tell the husband, say v'hashlam olav eved mashuk. You can go invite an eved off the street and have him contribute to lock up the get in accordance with Shitas ben Nanas. Hadron Allah Chazarek. Okay, a brief recap. We had the Mishnah number 1. A fellow wrote a get. Ishami say, well, even writing the get is enough to make her pasul from kahuna. It appears like divorce. There's a chumrah for yuchsin. They still say just the opposite. Even if you gave it to her on condition, which was not fulfilled, she's kasha for kahuna. And the Gemara later contrasts the derish rishonim who are more strict in these inyanim and there is achroinim. Got another example of the chiyuv maser, the way they dealt in the earlier generations, the way they did it later on. We had the story with the koil on the married woman who was purportedly divorced from her husband. We didn't do anything about it now, but we don't let her marry this next guy who was a koyin because of that koil. We had the halacha of megarshes ishtoi v'lana imay v'pundaki. So there was interaction between them after the get. Bishamai say, don't worry about it. Shlomo say, you need a new get. And there are 2 ways to explain the Mishnah. We're speaking about Ruosh Nivala or simply Eidei Yichud. We discussed the special get of the Kayin. And then if it's missing some signatures on those folds, it's called Get Kereach. You must make sure to shore up those blanks. Who is allowed to do that? According to Ben Anas, any person is eligible to procure only a Kariv. The Gemara explained this applied to blanks from blank 4 and up, but blank 3, we have a shita which says only kariv and a shita which says only kasha. And certainly, space 1 and 2 must be perfectly ksher. Rabbi Yochanan proves that only one, questionable aid is okay, but no more than that, lest we certify the aid based, the get based on his signatures. And Abaye had a couple of rise from the Mishnah. First, he says that the Karev can sign anywhere. And then another halacha regarding Kiyum Shtaris, that any 3 signatures, even random signatures, can be used for Kiyum Shtaris. You don't need to be Ritzufin, otherwise, that would enable us to invite more Krivim. Maskanas HaGemara was, Rav Ami Paskind, like Benanas, and even Eved Menashuk, Kimi Mashlim, they get Kereach, Hadron Allah Hazarek. All the best to you, and Atzlacha Rabbah.